Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Health Chat. I'm Linor, and I join you from Washington, D.C. Guess what? April 7 marked World Health Day, and there was an emphasis this year on primary health care. The World Health Organization says half of the world's population cannot access essential health services. On the program today, we will discuss some of the latest news on the health front in Africa. And joining us in the studio is Khalil Gay. He's an international broadcaster and the director of Box News Televisions based in Dakar, Senegal. And Khalil is a former VOA employee, used to work with us. Khalil, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Linor.
It's wonderful to have you here back in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So how is everything going in Dakar?
Well, we just finished elections, presidential elections, and, you know, people are excited about the new government that was released 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So expectations and, you know,
But see, the thing is, when there is election and there is a new government, people have hopes, they have many expectations. One of them is basic health care.
Yes.
Health is so important. What do people in Senegal say in terms of where does health sit on the agenda, really?
Health is a very important issue, as you know, but in Senegal, it's really taken seriously by the government. And you remember when there was that outbreak of Ebola in the sub-region, Guinea was the place where really it came out. Uh-huh. And Senegal succeeded in really
containing it. From the get-go, yeah.
Yes, because the health system is very strong, very well fit.
Okay.
And, well, people are proud of how the government, you know, mastered the issue, and how we didn't have any case in Senegal, even though we share a frontier with Guinea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, that was really fascinating and some lessons there to learn. And speaking of Ebola, we will go to this report because the World Health Organization is saying that the numbers are increasing. As you know, there is this Ebola outbreak that is ongoing in the DRC. So VOA's Lisa Schlein has this report, and the WHO is really sounding the alarm on a recent increase in the Ebola outbreak in the DRC. Take a listen, and we'll be back for more on the discussion.
The World Health Organization reports an increase in the number of Ebola cases. Last week, it says, there were 72 recorded cases compared to 56 cases of the deadly disease the week before. WHO Assistant Director General for Emergencies Response, Ibrahima Sosfal, attributes the rise to insecurity and violence in the North Kivu hotspots of Butembo and Katwa. He says that has caused major disruptions in the ability of health workers to respond to the disease. As a consequence, he says people in contact with infected individuals are unprotected. He says contacts cannot get vaccinated or be followed for signs of illness. He says burials are not conducted safely, resulting in some mourners becoming infected. Speaking on a phone line from Butembo, Fall says the difficulty of getting people to understand that Ebola is a problem further complicates the situation.
We have so many other problems like insecurity, being killed for many years, access to water, education, and so on. So it takes time to convince them that Ebola is a real problem for them. And that's why we have started this community dialogue, to listen to them, to understand the problem, and working with development partners like World Bank and UNICEF to address the other problems they have been having for many, many years.
As part of this outreach program, Fall says 40 young people from the local communities have been trained and are now part of the burial and disinfection team. He says the response to this and other measures requested by the community are beginning to have a positive impact. The WHO estimates it will take at least 6 months before it gains control of the Ebola outbreak. It says it expects cases will continue to increase until full response measures can be put in place in all vulnerable areas. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
So, Khalil, you heard this report. What are your thoughts on what is happening now in the DRC? I think it's fascinating to see that it's increasing when we know that DRC has been so successful in the past in containing Ebola outbreaks.
Yeah, and even DRC has exported experts to West Africa when Ebola broke in Guinea. Yeah,
in
Sierra
Leone and Liberia.
There are professors who are specialized in treating Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if Ebola strikes first in the DRC, then it can be, according to my, you know, my view, it can be easily, it's going to be easier to tackle and to solve. But if it breaks out somewhere else, it becomes harder in Ebola. That's exactly what experts say. It strikes like a stereo. So, but the other issue is communication.
Yes.
I mean, the government in the DRC has tried to communicate on what to do, how to avoid it. I remember when I was here at VOA, I hosted the Washington Forum, and I had the Minister of Health who was telling me that he would like people to know that when they see a monkey, a group of monkeys, and then all the monkeys run away when they come, when human beings get there, and there's one monkey which is running slowly, don't catch him. Don't take it as an easy target or easy game.
Oh, okay.
If you take it and you eat it, you're going to spread Ebola.
So,
because it's a sick monkey. So communication is a big issue. And I think the government in the DRC has done its best.
Yeah.
But this case is really a serious one, and I hope Mr. Sosefal of WHO is based in Congo, Congo Brazzaville,
next door. Yes.
Yeah, but who has the territory? I mean, who controls also?
Yeah, because that's the WHO Africa region.
Yes,
based in Congo.
They're doing a good job.
And it's really interesting to see that when I spoke to Dr. Malonga Myatudila, who is one of the group of experts who discovered Ebola actually in the 70s. One thing he told me, he said, you know, Ebola is here to stay in Congo. Why? Because it's partly attached to our cultural ways. Mm-hmm. And you talked about monkey when you talked about monkey, it has to do with what people eat, right?
Yeah,
you say if they catch the sick animal or a dead animal, the person will get infected. So he talked about cultural practices that are also breeding ground for the spread of Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
So we just hope that very soon this specific outbreak can be contained, because
it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to change the habits, you know, when it's culture. I remember, when we were students, Congolese used to get monkey meats, you know, and they would say, hey, man, we invited tonight to eat cousin. You know, cousin is the monkey.
Little bit of humor there.
Yeah,
but, it's all about culture. You know, nobody is wrong or right when it comes to what they eat. We can't really say, no, if they like to eat monkey, they're doing the wrong thing. If it's part of what their culinary habit, what can you say? Some people eat dog, some people eat fish, you know, what can you say? But it becomes a problem when it's a public health issue.
Yeah.
So that's the point that we're making. So, Khalil, you were in the DRC not long ago. You were reporting there and doing some interesting field work as a journalist. Talk to us about some of what you did there.
You know, in the DRC, I've been to the DRC several times. Mm-hmm. I mean, and recently my last trip was on the conflict between the Pygmies and the Bantus, but it had something to do with health too, because you know, the Bantus destroyed all the health facilities, etc., etc., and the region was in trouble when facing issues like epidemics, etc. But you know, most of the thing I did most in the DRC was AIDS.
Okay,
I covered AIDS. And
you were even hosting Votre Santé, Votre Avenir.
That was my show here at Voice of America.
At VOA, yes.
And AIDS in the DRC is a very big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have people, remember, as VOA, you were training journalists on how to cover AIDS. And I had in the room a person who was suffering from AIDS, mm-hmm. you know. And the journalists were there. I said, well, ask a question. I mean, they would not even open their mouth because they were afraid of even talking to the person.
Oh, wow. So someone who was living with HIV was in the room. And
right,
they were
because even... I brought him in order to get the journalist demystified.
Yeah, demystified.
And know the job is, first of all, it's not contagious when you're talking.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
So,
I mean, even when you shake hands, it's not contagious.
They didn't even know that. I mean, and they have words they use in the press, you know, which is really disappointing. I mean, they use words like, this guy is a candidate for the cemetery.
Oh,
like that.
Wow.
So our job was to change the minds of those journalists.
Change the mind and the narrative.
Exactly, the narrative. I mean, narrative, that's the problem, you know.
Yes.
In Mali, talking about... gender-based violence,
mm-hmm.
or a journalist wrote in the newspaper, she was raped because she was wearing a very short skirt. Those kind of stuff.
Okay,
I mean, people.
Wow.
So the big issue is not finding the cure or finding means of funding mm-hmm. the treatment. The big issue is communication.
Yeah.
If the journalists don't know how to deal with these issues, then they keep, it helps spread.
Yeah, spread, and the stigma also around it.
Right, stigma. But in the DRC, I had some very interesting people who were suffering from AIDS, but who were coming out, talking to on camera to me, saying exactly that they are giving advice to people. And one of them said something very interesting. He told the journalist, you don't know your state.
Oh, your status.
I know my state and my status. I know my status.
Yes.
I know that I have AIDS, and I know I must do this and this every day to live longer. But you don't know.
Oh, wow.
And that's when the journalists started opening their eyes and saying, wow.
Oh, that's a good point there.
So that's, I mean...
Because one of the key messages and the key, behavior that, or if you want steps, if you will, that the World Health Organization encourages is the fact that people need to get tested.
Yes.
It's such a big part of the big picture when it comes to addressing HIV/AIDS and containing. Get tested. Know your status, and according to that status, you behave accordingly. If you are infected, as according to the WHO, there are steps one can take to live longer. If you are not affected, there are steps one can take to prevent oneself from being affected. So it starts really with getting tested, I guess, when it comes to addressing HIV/AIDS. And it helps also with data, because without the right data, then they cannot... have the right approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another issue in the DRC is prisons. I mean, the prisons are full of people suffering from living with AIDS, you know.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes there's nothing is done to take care of those people. And most of the time they freed from prison.
Mm.
And they come out, and then they go in the
population.
And there's one thing. Another thing is that people are using AIDS as a weapon of war.
Yes, that's a problem.
I remember I did
just like rape is used, AIDS is also used.
Exactly.
And just to add to your comment before we move to weapons of war is the fact that the problem with HIV in prisons. In DRC, it's not just in DRC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a problem in so many different countries where prisoners fall between the cracks when it comes to HIV/AIDS prevention and treatment. Mm-hmm. So it's a good point that you raise, and that in prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we will talk more about some health issues and what Khalil has done in the ground in a moment. But first, we have to take a short break. And during the break, it is time for the news with Bonsa Toufa.
Thank you, Lenore. Ever since the turn of the millennium, the chances of living longer has increased globally. Now, a child born in 2016 can expect to live for 72 years, In comparison, babies born in 2000 had a life expectancy of 66 and a half. A reason for this includes the dramatic drops in deaths among children under 5, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. Progress has also been made against malaria, measles, and other communicable diseases. Advances against HIV and AIDS are another contributing factor. However, the World Health Organization says a significant life expectancy gap remains between developed and developing nations. Most people who die in rich countries are older, but nearly 1 in 3 deaths in poorer countries are children under 5. The UN Health Agency also stresses significant gender differences in life expectancy worldwide. You can find the numbers on life expectancy in the annual World Health Statistics Report. The outbreak of Ebola in the Democratic Republic of Congo is spreading faster than ever. Each of the last 2 weeks has seen a record number of new cases. Just less than 3 weeks ago, the World Health Organization said the outbreak of the disease was largely contained and could be stopped by September. But now, WHO spokesman Christian Lindmeier says the number of cases have increased again. Observers say this marks a sharp setback for efforts against the second largest Ebola outbreak ever. Unfortunately, militia violence and community resistance have also impeded access to the affected areas. And that's a wrap-up of your latest health news.
That was the news with Bonsa Tufa. Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are looking at some health news, and my guest is Khalil Gay, who is the director of Box News, a television based in Senegal, Dakar, and is also a former anchor and reporter for The Voice of America. Khalil, before the break, we talked about HIV, we talked about Ebola, but now we are going to talk about maternal health, because that's an area that you've covered extensively. And before we continue our discussion, let's go to this report by Voice of America's Carol Pearson. She has this story on progress made when it comes to maternal and childhood health.
A new report shows that more women are surviving childbirth and more children are surviving childhood, even in the poorest of nations. This is the result of a UN-backed initiative called Every Woman, Every Child. Helga Fogstad is a health economist who heads the program for maternal, newborn, and child health.
More women are receiving services of care, skilled care during birth, more antenatal care, more postpartum care. Children are receiving more vaccines than ever before.
Governments and private organizations invested more than $45 billion to improve women's survival during pregnancy and childbirth. The result, since 1990, the world's maternal death rate has fallen by 44%. The funding helped train midwives, improved nutrition for women, children, and adolescents, provided education, better sanitation, and clean water. Another achievement, death rates of children under 5 declined by more than 50%. Together, they are great humanitarian achievements. It also makes sense economically. Governments save money normally spent fighting disease, and healthy people contribute to a country's wealth. Fogstad says the return on investment is high.
Every kind of investment from on women, children, adolescents, is an immense resource for the country.
Nearly all preventable deaths among women, children, and adolescents occur in low to middle income countries. In 2015, more than 300,000 women died during pregnancy and childbirth. Most of the deaths could have been prevented. Also that year, nearly 6 million children under the age of 5 also died, mainly from avoidable causes. That's 16,000 children dying every day. The goal now is to improve on the program's success so that every birth is a happy occasion and every child reaches his or her potential. The report is the result of the Partnership for Maternal, Newborn, and Child Health, a coalition of more than 800 organizations, including the World Health Organization. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
So, Khalil, we see there have been some progress in maternal, newborn, and child health. What are your thoughts?
He say more, says more countries. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the problem I have. Those countries, at least if they had listed some countries, mm-hmm. because I've been around West Africa. I recently was in Niger mm-hmm. and Ivory Coast. You know, in the issue is not facing the situation of babies or children dying mm-hmm. or mothers dying. The issue is how do we get there and what do we do to get it, to get out of that?
Yes.
So in a country like Niger, where the culture allows people to marry off girls at the age of 13, there's a problem. So marrying a girl at the age of 13 doesn't lead a country to development. It will lead to maternal death and to child death. So, but when I was in Niger, the United Nations Population Fund, UNFPA, has a new technique which is really amazing, because they have noticed that women would not go to health facilities
yes.
because the culture is Islamic, Quran, so they don't want to go there because males are examining women.
Because the doctors are male.
Yeah, so now the problem is they don't want to go there. So the United Nations Population Fund developed a system of going to the preachers in the Quranic schools
mm-hmm.
and getting from them what the Quran says in the hadith regarding gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Quran says 24 months obligatory.
Yeah, I mean, compulsory.
Compulsory mm-hmm. for the woman. After she gives birth, you see.
24 months to do what?
Yes, to
rest.
Without sexual relations.
Not have any sexual relations. Right. Okay.
So that's in the hadith.
Okay.
So that now the Quranic preachers, they use that to teach.
Okay.
Women. And several other things. So. The other thing is that now they have decided to send their girls, their daughters, to school because they want to have female personnel in the health sections.
That's fantastic. So 24 months, let me go back to that. 24 months.
2 years.
That's 2 years?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what the Quran says, what the hadith says.
Okay.
And several other things.
As a result, young girls are going to school.
Yes.
To become maybe gynecologists and things like that, so they can examine.
They can examine because it's
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. so that's a result of the fact that men are reluctant to let their wives be examined by
other men.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, but in general, I think child death and maternal death
mm-hmm.
is. Maybe it's decreasing, but you know, when you go to a spot, you don't feel that. You see it's there.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a serious problem in many parts.
Yeah.
Even though when you look at the global statistics, there is, the numbers show that there is improvement. But when you go one, like on a case by case basis, you go to some health centers, it's really. It's really cause for concern.
Yeah, because you go, let's say, the culture is there,
mm-hmm.
poverty is there,
mm-hmm.
so you combine culture, poverty, and lack of equipment. And when the culture makes the husband, gives the husband the right to tell his wife, you don't go to the hospital, you have to give, to deliver here, your baby. So when the work...
Yes.
I mean, the labor is takes time. What happens now?
Yes.
People are afraid. They're kind of alerted, and they want to take her to the hospital. There's no means of transportation,
yes.
So they usually use a
little bicycle, or whatever they can find.
So, and when they get there.
Sometimes
no equipment, yes. No medicine.
It's one thing after the other.
Yeah.
But there is some hope. There is some hope because you have countries that have done some good works in improving health in general. When you look at the Sustainable Development Goals, Rwanda has done, it's one such country that has made some improvement. I think Eritrea have made some improvements. I don't want to say something that is not correct, but I believe that Eritrea has made some improvements. In some aspects. Let's talk very quickly before we end the show. About gender-based violence, because it's something you briefly touched on and it's something you worked, reported on. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's always here too we talk about culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the strength of culture in the society. So when journalists do not understand that they must fight against gender-based, when they validate it, when they accept it, because In Mali, for example, they say that when a woman suffers in her husband's house, her sons will succeed in life.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can't be serious. So that tells you why women don't react very often and why men keep doing it. But the new generation, I talk to the young.
Yes.
Yeah.
The millennials and
they say no way. They will that's not exactly what they think. So Mali is in a transition period now, but it's still there. And another aspect of that is people grow up in a society where they see fathers beating mothers.
And behavior is repeated from generation to generation.
And women accept it because it's the culture.
Yeah.
So changing a culture is a big problem, and then a president will not be very vocal on really that, because they will say, "Wow, he's trying to make us another nation," something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, the things are changing underground, and that's how it's going to be changing.
Okay. So, Khalil, we're going to close the show. It was such a pleasure to have you on the program today. And but before we wrap, talk to us about your next big project briefly in 30 seconds.
Well, it has nothing to do with health.
You can still talk about it. It's not forbidden on Health Chat.
All right. Okay. We're doing a big talk show.
Okay.
Yeah, in Dakar, receiving. I'll be hosting it. I wrote it already.
Okay.
Hosting, inviting people from the U.S., from France, from Africa. Musicians, actors,
that's fantastic.
And entrepreneurs who succeeded. Please, there's a band already set playing the music of those musicians invited.
That sounds like something I would definitely host.
We'll get you there.
Yeah, I would love that.
So we'll say, ladies and gentlemen, Lenore Morgan from Health Chat.
You're making me dream, right?
Yeah, right. That's what's going to happen.
But Khalil, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
I mean, I wish you all the best with your projects and your new endeavors. Now tell our listeners where they can find more about Box News TV and everything you do.
Box News is a TV station which you can get on. We've seen here. You can watch it if you have Roku or any other device, Amazon Stick.
Oh, they can go online.
On Facebook, Box News. It's easy.
Box News and find more information. Mm-hmm. Well, Khalil Gay.
Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
My pleasure too.
Thank you for joining us. And to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in to Health Chat today. For more on today's show, log on to facebook.com/VOA Health Chat and let's keep the conversation going. I'm your host, Lenore Modu in Washington, with producer Bonsa Tufa and Michael, our engineer. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz Pelka.